Ink Studs.
Okay.
CITR 101.9 FM. My special guest today is Jenny Gonzalez, a.k.a. Jenny Devil Doll.
Hi.
Is that the... What do you prefer, Jenny Devil Doll or Jenny Gonzalez or just Jenny?
Jenny Devil Doll is more my stage name for when I'm singing, so I always sign my comics Jenny Gonzalez.
A multifunctional existence?
Yeah, kind of.
So, I guess your main comics you do is Two Negative, so why don't you tell me a bit about that? I had a chance, I sat down and read them all. The devilish goodness, I guess, is the best way of putting it.
Oh, thank you. Two Negative, it's about a halfway house in hell and the different little devils and amoebas and other creatures who live there. The main character is Devil Dahlia. She's an insane devil girl and hears voices. She has like some problems. Kind of, it's a way of me coping with having the same problems. So it's a bit of a Mary Sue thing there, to use a fan fiction term, but, you know, I also try to, or I've been trying more lately to get into gags with different characters interacting and narratives about the other characters and things like that, too.
So you've been doing this for, what, since 2000? 2001?
Yeah, I started Two Negative in late 2001. If you look at the first issue, a lot of the... I mean, not all of them, but a lot of the comics have gags about, you know, giving blood and sort of 9/11-related things, because a lot of the first issue was done the late summer to December, like the period following that.
Mm-hmm. Was that pretty impactful on you, or was it a kind of a commentary on the... I guess, American patriotic euphoria that swamped the land of freedom?
Well, living in New York, I didn't really feel the patriotic euphoria. It was just, you know, are they done? You know, what's going to happen next? Is that smell going to kill us all? It was just, you know, is there chemicals in that? What is that? What's happening now? It was just a lot of, like, living on edge. And, you know, and at the time, I hadn't tied it in yet, it was starting to, you know, from the moment it happened, it was starting to be tied in with different kinds of propagandas and stuff, but to me, it was just, I had just gotten out of the mental hospital, like, the day before it happened.
Oh, geez.
And so it was just, like, living day to day, dealing with adjusting to these medications and adjusting to this, what... seemed like it would be like a whole new way of life around me, and thinking, you know, this is what people in other countries go through all the time. You read about suicide bombings and stuff in other parts of the world, you know, are we going to be like that now? And, you know, obviously it hasn't happened, and everybody's kind of gotten complacent again. And but there are still things that are definitely changed.
In your comic, You tend to do a lot of commentary on, I guess, right-wing isms. Is that something that's affected you? Being there, seeing, you know, the different, I guess, viewpoints?
Like, which one specifically?
I can't remember specific examples.
Yeah, I can't remember specifically either. I mean, it's, you know, this constant fear of, you know, I'm a young girl, there's this constant fear of choice being taken away.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the things you talk about, and it is the importance, I guess, in your own way of putting it, the importance of having that choice.
Yeah. And, you know, I grew up, my family, there's people on the extreme right, people on the extreme left, and, you know, it's just sort of processing it all.
Now, you're pretty open up front, pretty quick, like, discussing mental health. Is that something that's really been affecting you a long time?
Yeah, it's been affecting me since I was a teenager. I mean, I've had mental health issues, and, you know, it never occurred to me until recently, like, like 2001 to really start putting these into a comic, and not to do a straight up autobiographical comic about it, and not to be like, oh, woe is me, I hallucinate, I hear voices, you know, telling me to kill myself. And, you know, it's like I wanted to like try to find humor in it as a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I've been in the hospital, I've been hospitalized a couple of times now, and the latest two negative draws on my most recent experience in the hospital, because Cheese, who publishes House of 12, and I do comics for them too, was like, you know, I was talking about it, and he was like, this would make a good comic, and it's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to do it for myself, so I'm just transposing it into those characters, and, but, you know, the story is basically what I dealt with.
It's a good kind of catharsis, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's, I think, I find it interesting. Like, I didn't really know, like, I had a rough idea reading it with the, you know, the mention of the drugs. I work in the mental health field, but I'm not on the radio. And so I kind of know, like, some of the drugs you're talking about. So I found it, like, okay, well, this isn't just someone, you know, throwing it out there, is making up names of medication, going, Prozac, Prozac, Prozac. You know, I actually mentioned Risperidol.
No, I did. Yeah, I did the gag about Risperidol making her lactate, and based on a true story. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Well, it's such a weird thing, because like the medications are so different and just can have such like impacts beyond your mental well-being, I guess.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't understand that. They just think it's just going to, you know, change a little chemical in the head, but, you know, some cause weight gain, some cause weight loss, and I guess...
Yeah, I've told my doctor I won't take anything that causes weight gain. I have that American paranoia.
Just stay away from the government cheese.
Now, I will.
you're pretty interested in the occult, I guess, in some of the Crowley stuff. Is that true? Or how do you get into that, and what kind of roles that play in your storytelling?
The storytelling, I've been practicing Wicca, although I've been looking more at Thelema and Gnosticism lately. The storytelling, it's more of a Gnostic worldview. It's like devils and angels, and the devils are really sort of the protagonists. They're not the evil ones. If you look at number 5, heaven is seen as more of a repressive society where Aki gets, he basically gets booted out of heaven for showing compassion to a devil.
Well, isn't the whole idea behind the you know, Lucifer getting kicked out was just for questioning?
Some say for questioning, some say for arrogance. It depends on which version of the mythos you read or how you interpret it. Some say Adam and Eve were kicked out basically for gaining knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of begs the question, well, why are they not supposed to have knowledge? Why are they not supposed to know their bodies and how they function, and, you know about their sexuality? And if their sexuality is bad, why did God even put it there in the first place? You know, you could just snowball into questions like that. And, you know, I'm not Christian anymore, so I might not be the best person to answer these questions, but, you know, it is food for thought.
Did you grow up around a lot of fundamentalism?
When we moved to Arizona, I was exposed to a lot of fundamentalism. I actually tried out a fundamentalist church because they basically, I met a girl who told me that my anxiety attacks and all the other symptoms I had were not mental illness but demonic oppression, and they could get rid of that. So I tried it. I wanted to try anything.
Mm-hmm. The panic attacks can be so devastating.
Oh, yeah. It's like you feel like you've done something really bad, like murdered somebody, but you can't remember what you did that was wrong, but you have this overwhelming feeling of guilt and fear. But I was pretty bad at being a fundamentalist. I could never buy into the, you know, women being subservient, gays being bad.
It just doesn't fit in with New York life now.
It never really fit in with what I was thinking out there or here. I was always kind of, even when I went with my friend to her church, I was always kind of under suspicion. You know, they always assumed I was backsliding. I was having sex when I was saying I wasn't. I was practicing the occult when I was saying I wasn't. Things like that. It was, you know, I think they kind of sensed I wasn't very good at it.
How did you develop your interest in subversive, quote-unquote? I don't think it's subversive at all, but, you know, into other, I guess, spiritual endeavors.
I read a lot as a kid. I was just a voracious reader, and anything that had to do with, you know, spiritual practices always interest me, so I can't even remember what exactly my first real interest in it was.
Now, I'm going to switch over to comics, because really it's a comic show and not a religious show. So, tell me about the House of 12 group and how working with other comics folks affects your own cartooning.
Oh, it's good. It's challenging in a way because we come up, Cheese Hasselberger, who's the main publisher, picks a theme for each issue, and except for Filth, the themes he picks aren't stuff that I would normally think about or work with. Like, he did a science fiction issue, did a war issue. The next issue forthcoming is going to be the all ages issue, so that's particularly a challenge for me, who never wanted to do all ages type of material, is to write a story for kids. And of course, the first thing that came into my mind was to do something with these folk tales my German stepmother would tell me about, like devils whisking naughty children away at Christmas time and stuff like that. But we also meet once a month in a bar, Jack Dempsey's. It's right up the street from Jim Hanley's if you're in New York, and have a comics jam. People drink beer, pass sketchbooks around, draw comics. It's pretty fun.
Comics jams seem to be great for exposing each other to different ways of drawing.
Yeah.
And pushing more comics that have filth in them. They always end up filthy, comic jams.
Yeah, that was kind of the notorious House of 12 issue. It was the filth issue.
Good times.
Oh, it was.
So, the main stuff that you have, it's Two Negative, and then in the House of 12 anthologies, anywhere else people can find your work?
I've also done work in Mauled. Mauled number 1 and Mauled number 3, which is Brian Musikoff's comic series, and he compiles actual stories of, you know, different sort of accidents or fatalities or things like that that occur in the news, and gives them to artists to illustrate. Like, the first one was Maulings by Animals, which usually involves someone drunk at a zoo climbing into an animal tank and all hell breaks loose, you know. I think of the books as kind of a companion piece to the Darwin Awards.
I haven't seen them. Now I want to see them. I always like seeing people do stupid things.
Yeah, go to manualcomics.com and they should be there.
Now, when you started Two Negative, have you kind of changed from what you originally wanted to do with it?
Well, if you look at the first issues, they're very fragmented, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it other than just get thoughts about things down on paper, thoughts about comics, thoughts about mental illness. thoughts about what was happening around me. And lately I've been doing a lot of four-panel gag stuff, using the characters. And also, I'd like to get into doing longer narratives, but that's kind of more challenging for me.
Mm-hmm. Is it utilizing the same characters or just ideas of new?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of, like, episodic things, like TV series, continuing serials, you know, that really used the same characters and explored characters, and you got to feel like you knew them. I mean, I miss pamphlets. I miss, you know, stuff like continuing, like, Hate coming out.
Yeah.
Bi-monthly, and, you know, you read up on what are these characters going to do now.
What's Stinky going to put in his bum this month?
In his head, as he finally ended up doing.
Yeah. That was a sad day for everyone.
That just shocked me. It was just, because it wasn't even done like a big splash panel or anything dramatic. It was just
bam,
in a sequence of panels, and I was just looking at it going like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? So in a way, that was just amazingly done, because it was just...
Was Hate one of the comics that really got you into wanting to do funny comics?
Yeah. There was actually, when I was a teenager, the local record store at in Phoenix had a row of zines and magazines, and they had a few comics, and they had, like, Hate, and they had some old issues of Weirdo and Love and Rockets, and those were some of the first things I'd picked up, other than, you know, as a kid seeing, like, my uncle's Crumb comics lying around until someone put them away, and, you know, stuff like that.
They're good places to start from.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty much, I think I'm at the end of my time frame for how long I had for the thing. I guess I'll ask a couple more questions. The band, tell us about the band. Is it Ms., what was it, Ms. Pac-Man?
Ms. Pac-Man?
Yeah. Ms. With a Z?
Yeah, that band is dead. I have a new band project called the Rubber Room Rats that I'm working on. And we should be playing out by summertime. Ms. Pac-Man was me and three other girls. Abby Denson, who also does comics.
I know Darrow Abby.
And P5. And I was the lead singer. And it was just fun, garagey, surfy punk. And, you know, it just had... It also had a very cartoony sensibility. Like, a lot of the songs would tell stories and be very nonsensical, very whimsical in that way.
And what's the new band like?
Rubber Room Rats is kind of, it's me and three guys this time, so it's not going to have that, ooh, it's an all-girl band thing going on, but it's Nick, Jose, and Greg, and both Nick and Jose are talented songwriters, so them and myself are doing the songwriting, and some of the songs are comical. Some of them are more abstract. Nick tends to do the songs about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Jose does the abstract stuff, like heliocentric worlds collide. That's the lyric of his. And I do, like, just what's going on in my head, just what's pissing me off today, and I'm going to write a song about it.
Just let it flow. Put the pen to paper and let it go.
Let it flow.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me today, Jenny.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for interviewing me.
And I hope you have a swell day over there in the NYC.
Oh, thanks. I hope you have a swell day, too. Will you email me when this is up, like a link to it?
Yep. I'm hoping that I'll have it up within the week, probably. Actually, that's something I should mention, is send me a couple of song requests.
Song requests? What do you mean?
Like, I'm going to mix one song at the beginning and one at the end.
Do you have any Dresden Dolls? They're my favorite band, and
yep.
I just got an email from them.
I can get
saying
some.
They're going to use my artwork in a song book, so I'm psyched.
Awesome. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
That's very suiting. If think of what Dresden Dolls songs you want to hear, and send me an email.
Girl Anachronism.
Girl Anachronism, and
yeah, that's their big one.
I know the song. Anything else, or just that?
Because
I need two songs.
Strikes your imagination.
Okay, I'll find something. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Oh, get Ms. Pac-Man. There's MP3.
There we go. Okay.
On the website. There you go.
There, I'll start it with the Ms. Pac-Man and end it with the Dresden Dolls.
Nice.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
That was Jenny Gonzalez. Her comic is Too Negative, and her band is Ms. Pac-Man, or was Ms. Pac-Man, and I've suddenly forgotten the name of her other band, but yeah, check out her website. I think it's jennydevildoll.com. I'll have it posted on the website where you're downloading this from. www.inkstuds.com. CITR 101.9 FM is the station. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Precarious, remove the necessary, and behold the world's most sexy. Then I am the girl in acronym.